It's Tuesday, the 22nd of May, and it's time to get your gaming green on with a Game Green Greencast. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
Spooky.
Hi, guys.
And Gozagoz.
Hi.
Someone's changed their name in Discord, so I read out the names in a different order to usual. How is everyone doing?
I didn't do that on purpose to be the second one, finally.
You should have chosen the username with an underscore at the start. That would put you at the top.
Damn it! Can I change it? Is it too late?
Today we're talking about, well, some stuff we'll get into later, but until then, what have you been playing recently, Artura?
Wordle 2. It's really made me question whether I'm a journalist at all. It has categories like fish in it. I'm broken. I'm just broken. So Wordle as a game is basically you have to find the words from a scramble of letters. And I played the first one to completion. So in my pompous state of mind, I was like, well, I'll play the second one to completion. I've now spent a couple of hours. I believe I'm 3 hours in so far. And my categories left are either music with an instrument called like the balalaika or something like that, which I had to Google eventually. I was like, what instruments are there? I have botany, which I suck at, and fish. The first one is carp, and then the other one, I have no idea, and I have 10 more categories to go. I'm miserable, I am depressed, and I feel bad now.
You know it's bad when she asks for my help.
I can help with botany. It's a flower, or it's a tree, or it's grass.
Okay, but now the scientific names too, just in case, because this game hates me.
Flower-itis.
Flower-itis.
Isn't there a flower called... they named after some journalist from BBC?
I really don't want to be named after a flower now. I'm changing my name on Discord, Ace.
The Artura itis. Anyway, Spooky, what about you?
Well, I watched recently, what's the name? My crap. The Last of Us's TV show with my wife. And I've already played the game. Well, I didn't play it, actually. We watched a playthrough because it wasn't on PC and we're really bad in control, both of us. So we watched the playthrough about, 4 years ago? And I fell in love with the game, big time. And we watched the movie, the show thingy, and I immediately jumped into the game to see if I could, compare. So I've been trying to do that, although... it's not been as easy as I expected it to be because I'm with this new mouse I have. What's the name of this thing?
Ergonomic.
This ergonomic mouse makes it so hard to aim very properly. So I gave up 2 hours in and changed to the old mouse so I can actually headshot people because it's just impossible. So yeah, I've been enjoying that one quite a bit. I like Joel from the game a little more, but just because he feels kind of more real, more depthful. And that's it. Otherwise, I've just been hoping to someday 100% Sekiro.
Okay. And Gozagoz.
I continued playing Greedfall, the game I mentioned the last podcast. And I actually... I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it, because I don't particularly like modern RPGs. I tried to get into Dragon Age Inquisition for a long time, multiple times. Usually what puts me off of it is there's so much dialogue. I don't play a video game to watch movies. I don't play video games to listen to read or listen to people talking. I want interaction, stuff like that. And I guess what made Greedfall first off appealing to me is that they keep the dialogue to the point. They don't talk down to you. They don't explain every single thing when it's mentioned. they let you kind of investigate and find out what's it about. Yeah, it reminded me of Star Trek with the diplomatic stuff, which is what I mentioned on the last podcast. Is there's actually most situations there's an option to resolve them peacefully. You get dialogue choices, and there's always two choices: go Picard or go Kirk. So yeah, I enjoyed that. There's like actually you can level up your skills to make make like negotiations easier, or you can bring one of your five companions. You can only bring two companions in your active party. And you can basically adjust your party depending on the situation, and you will get an option to let them talk at a certain time, and they will allow you to resolve the situation peacefully, even if your charisma isn't leveled up, or you don't have your intuition isn't leveled up, so you don't have those extra dialogue choices that would make it easier at that time. You can just prepare beforehand, like, I'm gonna deal with the natives now, so I'll bring the companion that's a native. And yeah, when the natives I'm dealing with get angry, I'll let her speak, this party member. So
it seems kind of like straightforward, but I really like when games do these sort of things. I first encountered it with my wife playing Monster Hunter Stories on Apple Arcade, where like the monsters do their own abilities, and it was really cool because I really like playing with an alternative AI NPC thing where I don't really have to interact with another human, but they get to make like their own decisions and stuff. So I really like that you get to let them speak and try to add their hand at diplomacy as well. I just hope it isn't always like native plus native equal peace, because hopefully one day they'll say something wrong.
I mean, I can't think of all the specific situations, so I'm not sure about that, but like the whole premise of the game is that you come from the big continent to a new world, and besides you there's three other factions that come from the continent, and there's basically conflict between everyone, and each of your companion comes from a different faction, and like they essentially understand their faction's interests, so I guess that's why they can negotiate with their own people, like talk them down, that convince them that your intentions will benefit them in the end.
That's really cool. I'm really excited to try Greedfall, but the fact that it has so much dialogue, and I'm just not great with RPG games, I'm going to be honest with you. I've tried, and I'm going to continue trying, but oh gosh.
Those type of games and the turn-based titles, I've been desperate to like them. I've tried so much, but I get bored. The turn-based fights just feel so anticlimactic, and you just kind of like learn, it's just 1-2 and then 4-1, 2-4-1. I might as well play World of Warcraft.
It's actually real-time combat in Greedfall, so I think you might like that.
Oh, that one's better. I do like that one a little more, to be fair.
It's real-time combat, and yeah, you have two other party members with you that are controlled by AI. They don't need to be told what to do. It's pretty straightforward, that. And yeah, the dialogue is actually really to the point. It never, my eyes never glazed over when I listened. Because, oh, it's over already. I know what's happening. I didn't forget it yet. I was so happy. I was so happy so many times playing this game. Because I could remember what they told to me. What they told me. Because they weren't going on and on forever.
That's another problem I have. Some games, there's some titles where you can't just kind of casually pick up and drop. Because I have really bad memory. And it gets even worse as I get distracted doing other games or working. And then I come back and I'm like, I have no idea what's happening. And I have to restart and restart and restart until I basically learn the beginning.
Yeah, I totally get that. Like, I can't play any games with, like, lengthy cutscenes and stuff. Because I'll just forget.
Same. I'm terrible at that.
Avoid the Yakuza series.
Actually, I can't handle Yakuza because stuff is entertaining.
A few years ago, I posted a meme that was basically someone falling asleep with the text, me watching a Metal Gear Solid 10-minute cutscene, and then the same person really excited and hyper-focused with the text, me watching a 20-minute Yakuza cutscene.
Is it really, really that long, or is it just an exaggeration?
Multiple times, my Xbox is set so that when there's no controller input detected for 20 minutes, the screen will go dark to save the screen. And that happened multiple times through every Yakuza game.
Oh, wow, Jesus Christ. I wonder if I would like that. I mean, I guess if the story is good enough, I wouldn't mind it, but 20 minutes is quite a bit, a whole anime episode.
Yeah, I think what makes Yakuza entertaining despite those things is that it probably is as good as like TV shows, like anime. It's like a good mix of
it's engaging.
Yeah, a good mix of good writing and like just entertaining stuff happening.
Yeah, so that I've never been interested in the Yakuza series because I'm super bad at keeping attention. I get very bored with like storylines very easily. Just with everything, really. I'll get bored of anime and just leave my wife waiting, of books, of games. I leave everything just half done everywhere. So I know that those games specifically are just going to be impossible for my brain to handle.
Yeah, it might be a bit difficult. On a similar subject, how's Girlfriend going?
We are definitely not only 3 episodes away, and I've just been completely stupid to not watch it. It's not my fault. No, it's my wife's.
Because I believe that the podcast, the Pals Anime Lounge, recommended Girlfriend.
And we also have been trying to watch, we were watching Girlfriend and Girlfriend, and we decided to have 2 animes going because maybe that would help my attention span, and now I've just dropped both.
I'm still waiting like 5 years now to finish reading the Percy Jackson novel, my books, because she told me she was going to read with me, so I waited for her after finishing one of the books, and she was like, yeah, I'll read it with you, and it's been 5 years now. It's not an exaggeration.
I don't think that it's going to happen, Atta.
I don't think so either. Oh, God. I tell her she can read it for me.
Crack your whip.
I have to tell her no more cocaine until she finishes one thing, at least.
Back to video games. The game I've spent a number of hours with this week, the embargo for the review dropped yesterday. I totally didn't open this episode saying it's Tuesday the 22nd. I've said Tuesday the 23rd because we record on the day of release. I'll fix it in editing. Anyway, Star Trek Resurgence. The quick way to explain what kind of game is it's a Telltale style game. So you walk around the place, you choose what to say to people when given the options, and there's some quick time events with like action-y set piece things.
What's the story about?
The story follows a original ship created for this and crew. You're the first officer of this ship. You're replacing the old first officer. Something happened to them. You're not told what. So read the IDW prequel miniseries comic that was published before this game came out to find out more details. You also play as a engineering person. They're not an officer. They're a petty officer, it's called. They're not an enlisted member of Starfleet. They just do all the work and the officers get all the credit. So you alternate between these two characters. So you get to see the command decisions, and you get to see the fallout for the rest of the ship, because you're just a crewman.
I love that type of style game, and that one sounds pretty awesome because it kind of broke away from those type of games with the decisions are usually post-apocalyptic and zombies or stuff like that, and it sounds really cool that it's more like sci-fi based. Too bad that genre died out, huh?
Yeah, the Telltale games died and came back, and they've been trying to get The Wolf Among Us 2 made, but that keeps running into delays. And like the old Telltale, they'd released like 3 games per year, whereas the new Telltale, they haven't released one game in 4 years.
To be fair, I'm actually really glad they're pushing it back instead of releasing a half-done thing. That really like infuriates me.
Quality control from Telltale, impossible.
It's new people in charge, that's why. But for Star Trek Resurgence, if you go to the website and have a look at my score, you'll probably be surprised to find it's a 6.5 out of 10. Because while the story is fantastic, it is the best Star Trek story that's been in a game, maybe ever, certainly in a long time. But it's just very janky, and one of the quick time events, you had to move the cursor to the middle of, like, you had to aim it into the middle of the circle and then press a button. It wouldn't let me move the cursor up. It'd let me move it down and left and right a bit, but not up. And it needed to go up. And so I failed this thing and kept failing it because I was like, no, I'm going to brute force this. I'm going to make it work. And then I noticed after several attempts that the cursor, the target was moving.
Wait, so you could just waited it for it to like get in your area?
No, my cursor wasn't moving up. The target was moving. So every time I'd reload the checkpoint and try again, it'd be in a slightly different place, and my cursor still would not move up to meet it.
Oh my god.
So I had to use, they've got this thing called story mode, when you can retry or engage story mode, and that auto-completes any quick time event that's coming up. So I had to do that for that one, which was a bit annoying. I had to do that. It wasn't even an option when I started the game. Do you want to start in story mode or easy mode? Nope, just one difficulty. If you fail, hey, we've got this story mode, which will do for one puzzle.
That's really ridiculous that they don't also have any accessibility options for that. Ever since I got tendonitis, I've become such a... Like, I understand why it's so important, because silly little things like those can really make it difficult to play and enjoy a title.
I am going to tell you the options in this game. Music volume, sound effect volume, master volume, subtitles on or off.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. I've seen indie games with
that's
more.
All the options.
Jesus Christ.
And
that really sucks.
On the PC version on Epic Games, it says it's compatible with controllers or whatever it says. But what it really means is you're supposed to use a controller, because I'm not sure how these controls will bind to a keyboard. It looks like it's going to be awful if you try. And the sometimes the cursor will move very slowly. Sometimes it'll move very quickly, depending on the puzzle. It's not just one steady speed, which is annoying. The controller doesn't rumble. I played this on the Xbox Series X. The controller didn't vibrate at all.
Jesus Christ, this is literally a Telltale game or a Telltale-like game?
It's a Telltale-like game. It's by Dramatic Labs. My favorite thing is when I went into the menu to adjust the volume, I pressed B to exit out as anyone would. Nope. I pressed A. Nope. I scrolled down 5 times to the accept or cancel options, and then pressed A on accept, and then it exited out of the menu.
Oh my god. This is the type of thing that really drives me insane, is clunky menus. I know it's super silly, but the game I'm playing right now, Kaku, usually when you click M and the map appears, if you click M again, it disappears. But in this one, yeah. When you click M, a bunch of things start popping up everywhere, so then you have to click escape. And I get so lazy to deal with that type of stuff, because I don't know, I feel kind of like cluttered.
Like the Dark Souls series with making back Q for some reason. Q? Who uses Q to go back in a menu?
Or backspace on a game where you have to use your mouse.
Yeah, there's so many strange, like, there is a way to do things. You press A to accept, you press X to accept if you're on PlayStation. And then when you come to an older game or a game that's trying something different, it's like triangle to accept. What? What?
And it's really infuriating when you've dealt with that for like a few hours and you finally give up and you're like, whatever, I'm just going to keybind. And then, but now you're too used to the other one and now you just find yourself struggling back and forth over and over.
It honestly makes you a bit violent. Speaking of violence.
Oh, that's smooth. That's smooth. That's sexy.
I know. I thought the same.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. I'm bowing. The new Mortal Kombat has been announced. Mortal Kombat 1.
Mortal Kombat.
Oh my god, is it a new series?
I don't know if it's a reboot or it's if they're trying to do a... It can't be a remaster. They just call it Mortal Kombat Remaster, surely. But yeah, it's called Mortal Kombat 1. It's not the same as Mortal Kombat from the 90s. It's not the same as Mortal Kombat from the 2000s. 2010s, whenever the hell that was. It's a new Mortal Kombat 1. And you get one of the classic characters if you pre-order.
Unless you're being Sub-Zero.
Scorpio.
Oh, damn it, you love Scorpion as well.
Because it suggested that we talk about violence in video games, because, you know, Mortal Kombat equals violence. And I don't know about you ladies, but I certainly played Mortal Kombat when it first came out. You know, not Mortal Kombat 1, not Mortal Kombat from the 2010s. The original 90s Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat 2.
The good old 64.
I imagine, Gauze, you also played it.
Yes. Not Mortal Kombat 1 that's coming out this year, not Mortal Kombat from the 2000s, the original Mortal Kombat, the arcade machine.
Okay, I'd never played the arcade machine.
Well, it was ported later to, like, home console, the same game, basically, so...
It's just that realistically speaking, I was too young for that, like, yet. I was 6 years old? And my brother got obsessed with Mortal Kombat, and he didn't have anyone to play it with, so of course it fell onto me. And I didn't want to look like a wimp, so I played it until I started getting nightmares every time I played it. Oh. And my parents didn't let me anymore because I would go sleep in his room.
Oh.
That's not fair.
No, I was terrified. And apart from that, he would do the cool kill combat and the like combos, and I could barely throw a punch. I was such a noob back then.
Well, I've never been very good with fighting games, so I never really got the hang of fatalities. And then they brought in babalities and friendships, and it's like, I still don't know how to do these things.
They're really tough, but like, especially because it's like with a bunch of like press up, down, left, right, B, 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 A, A, A. It's like, what? How am I supposed to even remember that? But yeah, I definitely was terrified of that violence. I didn't even know why, because it's not like I was actively scared while playing it. I was just mostly infuriated because my brother wouldn't go easy on me at all. But at nighttime, I would just have horrible nightmares.
I mean, Scorpion takes off his mask and it's a skull, so I can see how that...
It. But you would expect me to be scared and in the moment, but no, I wasn't. And as I got into my teenage years, I thought it was so stupid that people wouldn't, you know, they were like, oh, violence is horrible in video games, it should be banned. And I was like, what? That's ridiculous.
I mean, I can imagine being scared of that if I was that young and I saw it.
Yeah, there's some, like, really messed up things, like when they, like, rip the spine or throw them into acid.
But yeah, looking back at it from, well, once I was an adult, I thought this was the best fighting game that Terry Gilliam never made. Terry Gilliam did animations for Monty Python's Flying Circus, among other things. Which are comedic, but they, like, if you compare Mortal Kombat to that, they are so similar, because, I mean, it's, as an adult, I think it's funny, that stuff, like, a person gets set on fire and it's perfect white skeleton, or, Scorpion pulls off his mask and that's a perfect white skull. And when characters punch each other, it's the same blood decal that copy-pasted, that flies spinning around, which looks like a blood-red bone rather than blood.
The game was... It had revolutionary graphics. They looked like real people because they digitized like the image of real people.
Sure, but impressive. That's the same principle you use for like cutout collage art, like early photo montage basically. Like, you would look at your newspaper and see pictures or scan pictures and cut out people and combine them with other things for comedic effect. That's kind of what seeing Mortal Kombat, original Mortal Kombat today, not the one from the 2000s. That's what seeing that Mortal Kombat invokes those thoughts of like cutout photomontage stuff. Like,
I mean, you're, I'm not saying you're wrong.
I actually kind of see it. Just googled the Mortal Kombat 64 and I can see the cutout like look.
Honestly, I don't think that the graphics in the new one can be any better than the original.
Yeah, that's kind of That's kind of what I like, kind of the thoughts I had over last few years about Mortal Kombat games, is that nowadays the game feels like it's taking itself so seriously, like the violence is still over the top, but they try to depict the injuries realistically as possible, and like through camera angles they try to show it off, like person gets sliced in half and the heart still beats for a moment and the innards seem realistic, the brain gets cut in half and you can tell that it's soft, multiple people get decapitated and you can the face has like a realistic reaction with the eyes rolling back into the skull and the jaw going slack, or you can see the last moment of life in the head. And it's like,
I'm totally not pounding out of my chest right now with those descriptions.
Oh, sorry.
It is really gory. I can totally see how it's gone so much worse with the x-rays and the realistic graphics. I haven't personally played a new age Mortal Kombat, but if it really is that raw, that's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, it's like, it's not even like, it doesn't feel particularly motivated by something. Like, violence in movies and video games is usually used to get a specific feeling out of you, like, I don't know, make you hate a certain character, or not violence at this point, but maybe show you that a martial artist is particularly skilled, or the world is dangerous, stuff like that. And in the modern Mortal Kombat, it's like, the point seems to be to show you the violence in as much detail as possible, which seems like it wasn't the intent originally. It was like, again, I look back at it and if I made the original Mortal Kombat today, it would be as a joke almost. Like, can I get away with this?
They made it stand out.
They made it basically empty, just shock value.
I mean, that's one of the problems I have, is that these sorts of things, I feel like most things in any sort of creative project should have a reason to exist. So when it comes to needless violence or needless levels of profanity or nudity or aggression, I feel like all of that should have basis within the world, a point or a reason to exist, which it sometimes, when it comes to gory games or even gory anime and stuff like that, my wife and I avoid them, not because of incapability to handle these sort of things, but because they use that as a almost like a coat for comedy or for actual gameplay and stuff like that.
It's just that it basically has no, that's all there it is. It becomes its core and it becomes its everything. All they do is just try to shock and, like, how can we make it more scary and more horrible and more gory? And it's just emptiness. And, like, once the shock value runs out, it's just kind of lame.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, again, sorry that I went into so much detail about it, about the stuff they show, but...
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm handling it well today, thankfully.
Yeah, if you ask me if I like violence and gore in my video games and my animation and whatnot, I would say, yes, I appreciate it, but it's, like, it needs to be there for a reason. Otherwise, like in case of Mortal Kombat, I watch it and I start thinking, why this is here? And I imagine some kind of a dude bro making this game, and wouldn't it be cool if I showed it as much detail as possible? And yeah, it's kind of that much feels like that only that much thought went into that.
And I feel like these things need to be an additive, not the core center of it. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not judging those who actually like this as the core center of any sort of gameplay.
Me either.
Because I know a lot of people really like the Mortal Kombat gore and like the really graphic kill scenes. But for me, and the way I see it is, if it doesn't have a purpose to exist, it probably shouldn't. And that's the difference between making it kind of like the core of your gameplay versus an addition to something else.
I think specifically because, well, first of all, I think the people that most like are teenagers who are kind of edgy in general. And also, the reason why it was such a big deal back in the 90s is because, like Gore said, it's how much can we push this? Like, what happens if we add, like, a lot, like, you know, they rip up the spine and then beat the person to death with it? And that definitely had some sort of nuanced approach and very interesting and shocking. But nowadays, I think if Mortal Kombat wants to, like, go back to the top, it would need to do something more than just, oh, look, blood and eyeballs.
Mm.
I think the only way Mortal Kombat could achieve this is by doing, like, maybe a story mode to make you connect to the characters and then brutally killing them in several ways. But for me, it's just a bunch of faceless fighters for the most part.
To be fair, I believe they tried, because while I was writing some of the product descriptions for one of the Mortal Kombat games, apparently Nick Cage has a child with, oh my god, what's her name? Sonya. So apparently there is some sort of story there. They also go, like, into the past or something.
Yeah, one of the things that people praise about recent Mortal Kombat games is this story. But the thing is, I don't feel like it's that good. And, like, there's handful of characters that actually have personality, but the rest of them are, like, one note or are interchangeable. Right? Like, Scorpion and Sub-Zero basically have the same personality. The difference between them is how they kill people. One uses ice and one uses fire. So it's not... I don't feel like it's enough. It's mostly, I don't know, that they show, like, they have cinematics for story. That's mostly what it is to me, anyway.
It would be awesome if they had, like, in-depth personalities like in Naruto.
Yeah, I think that's, like, the main, one of the main things that people like about fighting games is the characters. They get attached to them and they get developed in they get developed in each game. So they get the game for the gameplay, but they also get the game to see how that character got developed. And No, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say it's super interesting because I actually didn't know that. The only times I've ever really dabbled into fighting games has been way back when I was a kid, and mm-hmm. either I was too stupid or most of them were just to beat each other up. But I had no idea that they had more depth to them than just, you know, punches.
I guess it's the reason why the main selling point for Street Fighter VI was Ryu, with, like, the beard and the muscles and all that. It's like, look how he's grown from the original one and all that.
No, yeah. Sorry, what were you gonna say?
No. You go ahead.
Ryu's character development over multiple games was definitely one of the things that people paid attention and noticed, because I mean he's kind of the main character, or the character you always see on the cover, and, like, he had his ups and downs over the course of the franchise.
So I have a question. I saw a while back that apparently there's actual studies to show that people who are exposed to violence, whether in movies or video games and stuff, become less empathetic when they see it I don't know if in real life, I think that would definitely still shock them. But if they get shown news, for example, then they'll be less empathetic to whatever news is. How does that make you feel? And just in general, what would you do in order to avoid, or do you even think that it's going to really make an impact, considering there's been violence in movies and video games for years?
I feel like I can separate. I mean, I usually don't think of it as in real terms when I see it in a video game or in a movie or whatever. But I do start feeling a bit sick when I start thinking about it in detail. Like, it again, how Modern Mortal Kombat presents it. Like, they try to do it as realistically as possible, and I recognize those details because I know about those things one way or the other. Is that, yeah, that makes me, I don't know, that makes me feel sick when I realize that those details are what actually happens or could happen. I'm being very clunky answer. I don't know if this answers your question.
No, I totally get it. You mean to say you can like separate video games from like actual things, like, but if you think about it too hard, then it hits you. I actually get the same. Sometimes I'm scrolling Twitter and they'll suddenly show me a video of like people getting punched or more violent. And it doesn't matter how, like, if I was playing Sekiro or whatever, where there's a lot of blood and stuff, it's not going to make me less terrified of seeing violence and, like, real people violence. To me, that's why I didn't believe it at first, because I didn't see how someone could possibly not see the difference. But in the video, they show a bunch of kids, and they have them, like, hooked up to a bunch of machines, and they make them play things like Call of Duty or, you know, anything war-oriented, blood-oriented, and then they show them a bunch of news from, like, the world that has things have happened, murders, and all that, and it shows that their heart rate and all that, it doesn't really get affected nearly as much as before they had been exposed to all that horror. So I can see how that might be a problem with the younger generations, but yeah.
I'd be interested in knowing how long they waited between the video games and the real stuff, and what the readings were before the video games.
According to the thingy, they showed them like a normal, like, they showed them news and they freaked out, like their heart rate went up, right? And then after a while, I don't know if the same day or not, they made them play, and immediately after a session, I think of a half an hour or an hour, they immediately put news on. And at that point, that's when they didn't get affected nearly at all.
So that might just be a short-term thing where their bodies are still engaged in video game mode, and now it's some TV stuff.
It's just that I'm pretty sure that if violence in video games and stuff was going to have any effect on the way we perceive news and humanity, it would have already for a long time. It's not like this is new at all. It's been decades. And millennials are anything but disconnected from the pain of humanity. If anything, our generation is much more conscientious about like trying to keep people, help people from other countries and stop war and all that.
I feel like it's my, like, the just your general upbringing matters. Like, if you get like proper values and whatnot from your parents or your parent figures, then like it won't affect you long term. Because yeah, I seen pretty horrific stuff when I was growing up, but like, I'm also, I like to think that I'm really empathetic of other people, and I could always separate, like, I don't know, violence in Robocop, for example, from the real life, and yeah, I didn't think about it as real life. So when something bad happened to me or someone else, my reaction was completely different than what when I saw it in a film.
I mean, honestly, I think if anything, watching something in real life that you could only associate to a video game is almost more shocking, because you can play a lot of or watch a lot of things that are very gory and nefarious and evil and just sinister. But then when you see that you feel is basically, you know, fiction put into real life and find out horrors and war and stuff, I think that hits differently. It feels like it almost does it backwards, because it's something that we engage into through video games and stuff. It's almost unimaginable that another human being could cause such pain and destruction themselves.
Yeah, I think... I agree that when we make the connection with reality, it's at least for me, it makes me feel bad. But yeah, it all depends if I make that connection, I guess. If not, if it's obviously done for another purpose, just a purpose, a story purpose, or I don't know, even for comedy, it's like, yeah, I'm fine. But if I would find out that the filmmaker depicted violence based on something real, then yeah, my response to that would be different.
Especially if it has no basis. Honestly, if it's I don't know, like a thing about the Holocaust and you're trying to empathize people with the fact how the, you know, people felt, not only losing their family but also being in those concentration camps, then I can see how that's fine. Just not for shock value. That's the one that rubs me the wrong way. It's just like, let's just put this in because haha, Nazis are scary and the Holocaust is stressful, just because.
Right, well, I think we've reached the end of this podcast.
What do you think about violence, Ace, by the way?
Stop asking me questions or I'll punch you. Sorry, I've been playing video games earlier. I'm still...
Were you playing violent video games?
It was Deus Ex Mankind Divided, so yes.
Oh yeah, you can do violent things in that.
Especially the way I play it. Thank you for joining me, Arthur, Spooky, and Girls and Girls.
Thank you You're so much for welcome. Having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening and subscribing to the Greencast. Your support means a lot. If you want to hear more from us, listen to our anime podcast, The Pals Anime Lounge, and of course, check out our writings on GameGreen.com. And until next time, game on.